Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey! 45 votes. Patrick Cripps didn't just break the previous Brownlow record, he obliterated it. And even though Nick Daicos bettered it too, he was the length of the straight behind in second. Was Cripps that good in 2024? Has the Brownlow jumped the shark? Hello and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Andy Belairs and Glenn McFarlane will join me coming up to chat Monday night's stunning result. And you may have heard it's grand final week, where the artists formerly known as South Melbourne and Fitzroy will meet for the first time in the decider since the 19th century. We'll have a look at all things GF. Here's Macca. Here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, well, it is the morning after the night before a historic Brownlow medal. I'm Andy Belairs and I'm joined by Glenn McFarlane. Macca, g'day.
Andy, how are you?
I'm going all right. It was quite a stunning and almost unbelievable thing that happened last night, Macca. 45 votes to win the Brownlow medal. Way, way above anything we've ever seen before.
45 votes. I know, that's incredible, isn't it? That's two seasons of Brownlow for a winner of recent times. Mind you, we have gravitated into the 30s, and there was always going to be a situation where we maybe hit 40, but not 45. So I think they got the right winner. Whether they got the right number of votes for the winner and the runner-up, I'm not so sure, but certainly they got the right. I'm comfortable with the winner. Just interesting to see what happens next, isn't it?
It's almost an old-fashioned... The way that it played out, other than the 45 votes, the fact that Patrick Cripps, you know, the Blues were there and thereabout, but they just snuck into the eight. They weren't the dominant, one of the dominant teams. He was the dominant player. It was almost a Bobby Skilton from the day when the Swans would finish mid to low table, and he was the only, you know, he was the dominant player in any game.
Well, you look at that. You look at 45 from Patrick Cripps. Then you have to go down 29 votes to the next one, Sam Walsh, 16, which is a creditable 16. And then you go down to 6, Harry Mackay. Amazing. And you think of the two All-Australians at Carlton. You've got Patrick Cripps, 45. You've got Jacob Wittering, 0 votes. Yeah. So it is, you know, and I look back at a couple of counts in the 1930s and they were whinging at being a midfielder's medal back then. So it is very much a midfielder's medal. We understand that. And I love the romance of the umpires still doing it. I know there's some people who this morning are saying maybe that's not the right way to go. We've all got our different thoughts, but maybe they do need a little bit of help, but I would be sticking with the umpires.
Oh, my first thought was, geez, has the Brownlow jumped the shark? You know, is this sort of a bit ridiculous? But no, I agree with you. It's always been the umpires' medal. So whether or not, I mean, it's up to the people and it's up to the league and it's up to us as fans whether we see this as the glittering prize above all others. You know, we've got the Coaches Award, we've got the Players Association Awards, things like that. But I think we've decided and it'll never change that Brownlow is the one.
I think so.
The Brownlow's voted on by the umpires. I think there's some changes that could be made.
What would we do? So I personally think the umpires should have access to the stats. Now, I'm sure it's their decision as much as anything else. I think they've been given the opportunity. They prefer not to do that. Okay. Everyone else who votes on any award, whether it be the Coaches Association, whether it be, you know, players award as well, whether it be our own Herald Sun Footy Award or whatever, we actually have access to the stats. So I would have absolutely no problem. It may not change the way the vote goes, because as I said, I think the right winner won, and I think the runner-up was absolutely could have been the winner as well.
Sure.
But I just wonder whether they, you know, that percentage of 45 and 38 votes might just come back a bit if you have a look at some of the stats.
Well, I quite like the romance of no stats. I quite like the idea of, you know, the umpires come into the room after the game and then say, oh, so who was best? But I actually think
there's got to be a way. Well, have you got a solution?
My solution is I think all four umpires should before they come together, they give their 3-2-1 in isolation, each of them, and then they take an average of the vote.
So that's like the Norm Smith. So that's the way we do a Norm Smith. There's four or five. I think mostly there's five now, Norm Smith voters, and they collate. They don't confer at all.
Yes.
They collate independently, and they bring together the actual. And then there's a judge at the top of it who can overrule.
So I'm sure there's a senior umpire of the four in any one game who can, you know, give the deciding for a tie. But I think that gives you full coverage of the ground.
Interesting, yeah.
So that means that, you know, the centre bounce umpire who's giving Patrick Cripps three votes, well, maybe there's the umpire who's looking after the Blues back line in the second quarter. Wow, gee, Jacob Wiedering played well. I'm going to give him two votes.
Yeah, well, it is amazing when you think of the year that he had. He didn't get a vote.
Yeah,
so
incredible.
So it is one of those ones. I don't think we'll see any imminent change. I really don't, because the AFL covet this award, and it is an extreme. I mean, the history of this award is remarkable, as we know. 100 years now. It's 100 years since Kaji Greaves got, the first medal. And you go back only a few years ago, not that many years ago. I think the Dipper was 17 votes, and I think Gavin Wankadine might have been 18 votes.
Yeah, Liberatore was 18 votes.
So we've now more than doubled that. So what it says to me, and the umpires under enormous pressure, they always have been, is that they revert to the seemingly obvious in front of them more than they've ever done. And whether that's the right thing or the wrong thing, I'm not sure. But as I sort of said, I'm really comfortable with Patrick Cripps. There were a few that I think, you know, and I always look at the Brownlow. My fascination with the Brownlow is you're looking to see who's going to win it next year or who's going to win it. You look at the guy who's polled out of his skin, and could be the one coming through next year. Is it a Matt Rowell? Is it a Caleb Sarong? Is it a Zach Butters who's going to win one at some stage soon? But Patrick Cripps, you look at him now. He's at the top of his game. We talked about Lachie Neale winning three. Can Patrick Cripps win three?
Well,
I think he can.
He probably can.
On 45 votes, absolutely he can.
Absolutely. Well, and then you look at the players who probably polled fewer votes than, you know, for all the Patrick Cripps who polled far more than anyone ever predicted, you've got a Marcus Bontempelli who, personally, I still consider him the benchmark in the competition. I think he's the best player that we've seen over the last couple of years. And it looks to be the case that he might become one of those, you know, Lee Matthews, Wayne Carey, Gary Ablett, the best players we've ever seen.
Not winning a medal. And that happens. We know that happens. And that's the situation with the Brownlow, even from his own club. Scott West came so close on so many occasions to winning this award. And and personally, I thought Bont would win it last year. Didn't. Lachie Neale won. We know that. And I thought he'd poll really well this year. And he did. Like, let's be honest, 19 in, 20, 30 years ago would win you the medal. But it doesn't win you medal now. And I was surprised that he didn't get in the mid to late 20s at least. So I'd love to say that he's going to win one time. It probably wasn't as good as his year. This year probably wasn't as good as his year last year.
And
but it was not far off.
Incredibly
well. Correct.
Rubbish.
And I thought it was awesome to see Adam Treloar get some, finally get some kudos and poll 26 votes was outstanding. And you could see he was a bit awkward there, Ad, sitting right near Bont thinking, oh, gee, I'm taking votes off you. But he absolutely deserved it. It was fantastic to see what he could do.
Going back to the fact that they're not using the stats this year, I wonder if, you know, a bit of the old, they always said back in the day that, you know, Peter Hudson never won one because when he kicked 8 goals instead of 12, the umpires would judge him harshly because he didn't play as well. I wonder if a bit of that comes into it. It's like, oh, well, the Bont wasn't quite as good as we expected him to be. So we give it to Treloar or we mark him down.
Maybe, which is weird because you look at someone like Cripps and Cripple was getting votes in games that you thought, maybe not. So to me, it's the romance of, we don't know what the hell they're going to do. Generally, they get the right winner, generally.
Yeah.
So I'm not a person that would ever want to change it because I love the romance of it. I got to say, I've been watching them for decades and I still love Brownlow Medal Night. There's a bit of magic and a bit of romance about it. But it is going to be interesting. I don't think there'll be any imminent change because even with the eligibility, and that would have been would have become a really big issue if Isaac Heaney hadn't have lost by 17. Can I say that again? 17. There's no scope to change that. The AFL are really confident they don't want to be doing anything like that. Likewise, I think that'll be the same with the umpires.
I agree. I think the only thing the AFL probably might have paused this morning about is that it was decided so early in the count.
Agreed.
Channel 7 may not have been particularly happy. People, I wonder if they found people were switching off once they, you know, because Monday night to work days, Tuesday, you wonder if people were like, oh, Cripps won, bang, off.
Yes.
And missed the last couple of rounds.
Good point, good point.
So, yeah, I think they would have much preferred to, you know, come down to the
give
last
them the
round.
Give them the stats, Andy. Let's give them the stats.
Okay, we'll give it to them. And we so decide. Hey, Macca, it's grand final week. There are two traditional teams, but for Victorians, interstate teams in the grand final. Why don't we take a break, come back and have a bit of a look.
I'm Andrew Rule, host of the podcast Life and Crimes. The problem for the police was there were far too many potential suspects. They obviously couldn't all be guilty. And he went to the people next door and said, have you seen Shauna? And they said, no, no. And he rushed back to the house and went to Shauna's room, and there was Shauna, dead in her bed. This month on Life and Crimes, available wherever you get your podcasts.
You're here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Andy Belairs. Glenn McFarlane is joining me. Macca, the Lions and the Swans will face off in the grand final. I'm actually really excited about it.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I think they're two very, very worthy sides. And we're going back, you know, something like 125 years since the Lions and Swans have played in a grand final together.
Yeah, 1899.
1899, and amazing. I did a really good look back yesterday on that particular game. I wasn't there. I didn't cover it. No, it's not okay. True. But
at the Junction Oval,
Oval. There was a wrangling over of where it should be played, and there were threats of clubs not playing, and then there was nearly a flood that day. South Melbourne didn't want to play it. Fitzroy did. So there's a lot in that particular game. But I think these two teams, they've been, you know, the fact that they've had grand final heartache over the last 2 years, you go back to, I think, sort of might have been like 95, might have been the last time, I think, wasn't it, that the two teams from the previous two grand finals who had lost.
Carlton in 93.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Geelong in 94.
In that particular game. And I think this has got, you know, the potential to be an outstanding grand final. I think they're pretty evenly matched. I don't know if you saw the game earlier in the year when they played not that many weeks ago.
Yeah.
Up at the Gabba, and Brisbane prevailed in that. It was a classic game. And, you know, when you got a player like Isaac Heaney at the top of his game, and we saw Cam Rayner, who's, you know, got the potential to get to that level, I think it's a really exciting grand final. And the two coaches, I've got a lot of time for both of those coaches. I think Chris Fagan's just a remarkable story. Mm. And John Longmire, this bloke, I'm doing a story with Ralphie for later in the week on the heartbreak kid who had a bit of heartbreak as a player.
Yeah.
And he's had a bit of heartbreak in grand finals other than the 2012, which was one of the great ones.
Seems like a long time ago
Seems
for him.
Seems like
now.
A long time for lost, particularly.
Yeah.
He's lost game.
Lost a lot three of, since.
Yeah, which you look at that. He it's got great narratives around all of this. You know, there's some really great stories around this. And I've got to say, as a Victorian, I don't care that these two teams may be based outside. There's a lot of – I spoke to someone from the Brisbane Lions this morning, and they've got 10,000 Melbourne members. That's fantastic.
That's a lot more than Fitzroy finished up with in 96.
Absolutely, and the Swans have got a great base here as well. So plenty of great narratives. I'm really looking forward to this game.
Yeah, me too. I think the Lions, I'd love to see the Lions win because I really like the way they play. I think Oscar McInerney's a big,
heartbreaking.
He's a very, he's a dominant ruckman. Mm. He's a really important player for them. I mean, Darcy Fort, good luck to him. That's wonderful.
35 games, hasn't played since Anzac Day this year when you think that long ago. But the good news for Brisbane is that they did play in the VFL for late into the final series. So he's got enough around him, but gee, it's going to be a, you know, Brody Grundy, who I think he's part of the great storyline. I mean, he was, I remember the 2018 grand final. He could barely walk that night after the game. He was that sore, came so close 2018 to a premiership and then missed it by heading off to, well, he had to head off, let's be honest, he had to head off to Melbourne and you know, wasn't playing. And I think he was doing some sort of exam or a course on grand final day last year, whereas this time he'll be there in the middle of the MCG and he might just hold the key to the game in his own hand.
He might. Have you got a tip for us, Macca? You got a Norm Smith tip for us?
This is really hard. I've agonised. But I did tip Sydney at the start of midway through the season, and I tipped them at the start of the final series. So I won't jump off now, but I think Sydney by a point, this will be a classic. Mm. And Isaac Heaney, no one is playing as dynamic as Isaac Heaney at the moment. So I'd be taking the soft option. Sydney by a point, certainly by under a goal, and Isaac Heaney to win the medal.
I think I'm going to go the other way. I think the Lions by, let's say, 8 points, a little over a goal.
Mm.
Joe Danaher.
Oh, Joe, wouldn't that be a great story too? So all I'll say is I am really looking forward to this game. It's going to be an absolute cracker.
Absolutely. Macca, thank you, and thank you for all your time through the season.
Thanks, Andy. No worries.
That'll do us on today's Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Andy Belairs, and my thanks to Glenn McFarlane for joining me today. Make sure you keep an eye out. That'll do us on today's Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Andy Belairs, and my thanks to Glenn McFarlane for joining me today. Make sure you keep an eye out for our Moneyball on Wednesday morning. All the grand final lead-up coverage through the week, live coverage of the big one on Saturday, and of course, Robbo's can't miss tackle on Sunday night. Have a great grand final week. I'll catch you next time.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.